From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbread, on a day where I'm going to attempt something ludicrously stupid. But I'll come to that in a minute. My name's Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains, in the town of Poprad, in the east of Slovakia, hence the name of the programme. We better introduce him over in Wingeville, known as the United Kingdom. It is a cohort, Lee Banks.
Hello, who by any other name is known as ludicrously stupid, and Eric's going to try me later on.
Did I say that?
Listen, I've got to tell you, the weather has been so bad over here, honestly. You know, you usually introduce it by saying how it's snowing and everything. Well, it's been so bad over here this week from it being a heat wave that I got a phone call off Andrea the other day saying, the windows are all frozen, what should I do? So I said to them, well, pour some hot warm water on them. Don't make it hot because it'll crack them. Yeah. Just put some water. She said, I phoned her back a few minutes later. I said, did it work? She says, no, the laptop won't work at all now.
Ho, ho. Oh, that's a good one, Mark. Thank you.
What, are you trying to machine gun me?
Yeah.
And over in the doggy doo-doo capital of Europe, it's the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander in Paris.
Yes, well, hello there. And it's getting pretty cold here as well. I mean, only, what, last week it was absolutely fabulous and nearly a pleasure to be here. And now it's getting windy and cold and very nasty. So I don't know what's
going on. It was snowing here this week, chaps. I mean, what are you whinging about? What are you whinging about? It was snowing.
Well, if it did, the whole hog and actually snowed, you know, that might be all right. There might be some point to it. But, you know, just this middle ground between beautiful sunshine and lovely white snow.
Yeah.
Just a bit nasty.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Anyway, it's your alternative look at the news of the week on Postcard from Poprad. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, and on Audio Boo. And, of course, you lovely folks on RTI FM. And we're going to start with Eric's little challenge of the week, because we must remind you that from Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, RTI will have a sister station in the form of RTI2, which will be a group of guys in Birmingham, namely new voices to the radio, Debbie Penton, Harry Cole, and an old friend of ours, Danny Palmer, reporting from the Gadget Show Live, direct from Birmingham.
Birmingham, like
Birmingham, you. Where it always rains. Yeah. And so the guys will be there with what I think is Europe's largest tech show. And the station will be bringing you all the news from the gurus that are going to be there, the manufacturers that are going to be there, the guys that are on the stands telling you all about it. Hopefully some celebrities dropping in as well.
Like me.
Hopefully some celebrities dropping in as well.
Like me.
Hopefully some celebrities dropping in as well.
Ludicrously stupid.
To enhance the radio station. We will obviously have one or two guests that probably won't. And it's all going out via Radio Tatras International. So keep an eye open for that. It's RTI2. You'll find it on our Facebook page. And if you're stuck and want details, do email us studio@rti.fm and we'll give you all the details. But that won't detract from RTI1, which will still have Postcard from Poprad on it, as it per normal.
And
except it won't be from Poprad, will it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it will?
Yes. Nothing changes whatsoever.
All right. The joys, it's going to be from Birmingham.
The joys of the... Well, we might have a chat with Danny and one or two others and make it even bigger. But apart from that, no, we shall still be here. We'll have Petra helping us as well. It's going to be so cool as that.
Hi, Petra.
So she's not here today, though.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying hi.
Menage a trois, isn't it?
Yes, menage a trois. And I must also say hi to Jerry, who stopped me this morning as I was going to my car and said, do you speak English? So I thought about this for a moment.
Gary, he doesn't.
And I went, well, my mum doesn't think I do, never did. And yet I think I kind of do. What's your problem? And he said, "You're English." I said, "Yeah, that'll be right." And he was a little bit lost driving around in his ruddy great Range Rover, which looked rather nice. He's touring across Europe. And apparently he's got internet connections while he's around, so he'll be listening in to us. Jerry, I apologise in advance for what's about to happen. So there we go. That's the bits and pieces out of the way. Let's start off with the tributes this week. As always, guitar amp man Jim Marshall, the father of loud. Father of loud. Oh, you're going to do the Nicky Lauder joke now?
I don't know that one.
Can't do that.
Can't you?
Yeah, people don't have an ear for that.
I was talking about Nicky Lauder.
No, that's pathetic.
I won't do it then.
Nah, it's a tragedy, isn't it?
It is a bit.
It's the man who made the amps for Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, Slash, Guns N' Roses, everybody. He made them for everybody.
Well, Slash is Guns N' Roses, kind of.
I'm sick to death of being... if you correct me once more, I'm just going to down tools.
Are you?
Yeah, you never know what I'm going to be on when I'm doing this.
But the people at home, we're lamenting the death of Mr. Marshall. Jim Marshall.
Yep.
And here speaks the voice of sanity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's just that we hadn't mentioned who he was. He was just the father of loud.
Did we not?
There are things that are called dropped intros in broadcasting and journalism. And that was one. What you do is you build up the tension about telling people what it's all about. That gets them to prick up their ears.
Mark, tell them what it is. You and I can have a little doze while he rants for a minute. Yeah.
Okay. I'm taking a back seat this week.
I thought you were all sitting in your aircraft seat. How can you have a back seat?
The aircraft seat.
He does, boys and girls. He sits in aircraft seats in his front room.
I do. It's because an aircraft crashed into my house 5 years ago. We've not managed to tie it up yet.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Jim Marshall will be definitely...
he will be missed, won't he?
He will be missed, but he won't be forgotten because that loud function of Jim Marshall is even on the smallest of amplifiers these days. Even if you go into your local Tesco shop... You'll often see the loud buttons put on the amplifiers, or currently known as overdrive, and they really do hammer it out. It's phenomenal. And,
he was just a shopkeeper, really, wasn't he, who decided to put this together and basically mucked around and had a few goes and eventually got it right, and fantastic, quite amazing.
He's just got an ear for it.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about, a huge mega investment by Sony or Samsung or Roland or Korg or anybody. Like, this is Jim Marshall in the back of his shop putting his valves together. It's fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
And I'll tell you what, if you get a chance, and I'm sure Mark knows where it is, down in the big venue in Montmartre, in Paris, and they have some of the bigger bands in there, which I've had the privilege of seeing. When that loud button or overdrive button goes on, whoa, is that amazing? Absolutely amazing.
It's also worth remembering, isn't it, that he goes back to the days, like Mark mentioned, of valves, and still today there is a phenomenal trade in old radio valves and that type of thing for the very use of building speakers and amps that do the job as well, similar to the way Jim invented it all those years ago.
I think I've got to just correct you a little bit.
Right, that's it, I'm going.
Because
you put the valves in the amps, not in the speakers.
Yeah.
I said speakers and amps. I corrected myself. I didn't need you to correct me. I said speakers, then I corrected it to amps.
Yeah, and bicycles. And bicycles.
And bicycles, of course, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And probably trabands as well.
What bicycles got to do with it?
Nothing.
You've got valves in your bicycle, otherwise the air gets up.
Yeah.
Silly Billy.
And that's why I said trabands as well. But that way, he's obviously sitting far too down in that aircraft seat this week, Mark.
That's right.
Yeah, he needs to stand up. but seriously, though, if you have a look around, and I can't tell you the brand names, obviously, but one of them's based in Cambridge in the UK. They will still sell you a brand new amplifier costing around... between £5,000 and £25,000. And they still make brand new valves. The problem is that there's not that many suppliers of them these days.
Since you're talking about people who will remain nameless in places like Cambridge, right? in the village of the damned, there is one of the greatest proponents of Valve Radio and valves for speakers and amps, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, I you? Should...
Go on, then.
No, not me.
Who?
No.
Tell us more about him.
Yes.
Windy Miller. I've just told you.
Windy Miller.
He has a sale on a regular basis where you can actually go and buy these things secondhand, yeah, in working order and build your own amps. He's a fascinating chap. You actually spoken to him once. You know him, Eric, although you've forgotten.
I have forgotten.
Yeah, you know Windy Miller. Chas Miller.
Oh, Chas Miller. Oh, sorry. Yes. Right with it now. Let's move on, boys and girls, otherwise it's going to get too incestuous. The great man himself to some.
Oh, no.
The horror to many other people. Ferdinand Alexander Porsche, the chief designer credited with the 911 Classic and grandson of the car company's founder, has died aged 76 in Salzburg in Austria, lovely city. And it's really like, I don't know if this will work, Porsches are rather like Marmite. Marmite's a food in England, you love it or you hate it. And Porsche tends to be the same, you either love them or you hate them. Me?
The difference is that Marmite repels women and Porsches don't.
I think if you're, dare I say, having a midlife crisis and trying to extend parts of your anatomy to impress ladies and you buy a Porsche, you actually look a pillock.
You think Marmite does a better job then?
You look pillock.
Yes, all right. Yeah. We'll settle for Marmite.
To bring the story back to a sort of elegance and erudite level. Yes. Let's remind people that actually Ferdinand, old friend of mine, was one of the greatest exponents of the aesthetic S.
Right.
Yeah, you don't know what the aesthetic S is, do you?
I wouldn't have slept.
Aesthetic S is the curvature of the wings of a Porsche, which if you look at them, you can actually make out the S. The shape of an S built into them. And that aesthetic S was then taken by all other car makers to give an elegance and a charm and a refinement to their vehicles. And it was down to old Ferdinand.
Is it?
Mm.
You're a sad man.
You really are, to have that kind of knowledge in your brain. actually, I've got a good story about a Porsche, if you want one.
You know, get somebody to paint your Porsche.
No, I can actually tell you where it was. It was by the hospital in Stevenage at the traffic lights. And there was some stupid little oik in his Porsche going, brr-n, brr-n, brr-n. And I was sitting there in what to the outside world looked like a very normal Ford Transit. A red Ford Transit with a diesel front on it, no less. So everybody used to laugh at it. And when the lights went green, I hit the gas pedal. I looked in my rearview mirror and there was the Porsche, still struggling to get off the line and looking, going, what the hell was that?
And ladies and gentlemen, as a comment from Ludicrously Stupid here, who's now been described as sad and corrected three times, we're going on the air for 5 minutes, may I say that this is the man who is bragging about being a boy racer in a transit van.
We had a V6 3-litre in it.
Red van man.
RIP Tesco's value.
This sad Tesco's value. It's been around for 20 years. That's been their byword, literally their byword to success. Yeah. Tesco value. Straightforward, simple, straight to the heart of the working man. And now they've dumped it and changed it. And guess what they've changed it to? Tesco's everyday value. Nice. How much have they paid for somebody to come up with that?
I don't know, but I was watching telly this morning, and apparently, as we record the programme, the new law has come into England, which we mentioned last week, about supermarkets, not just Tesco, but many others, M&S, wherever. They now have to put cigarettes into a cupboard, which is a wooden type cupboard, so you can't see through it.
Yeah. I can tell you something about this.
Very really good idea as well.
Well, it's
not a good idea. It's a ludicrous idea.
And I think actually that the cupboard ought to have an armhole in it, and you simply put your arm in it and wiggle around, and you take pot luck.
Well,
there's the manager with his stride around his ankle.
Well, I've got a little idea for every. I've got a little idea for everybody, because I'm not suggesting people should smoke, and I'm not promoting it, because I have to say that as one who's probably spent more money than some people earn on cigarettes in their lives, it's a bit bad. But I'm concerned in that it's a bit more of this nanny state coming in.
It's nanny statism gone to absolutely ludicrous proportions. You finish what you're saying, then
I'll... So now I have a solution for everybody. If you are a smoker and you're a bit fed up with all this, do go into your local supermarket and ask them for a brand of cigarettes called Marlboro Flavour, which you can't buy in England. And when the assistant looks at you and goes, do what? You say, flavour. And they go, we don't have them. And you say, oh, blimey, well, what ones do you sell? So they'll have to open the cupboard and have a look. And you take about 2 or 3 minutes to make your mind up. By which time, the next bloke can come on and the doors will stay open all day long.
I know, but the problem here, Eric, and I agree with you, and I think that's a wonderful anarchistic idea, something that will really rock the world, right? But the truth is, and this is how shameful this new law is, the girl who works behind that counter, who's on minimum wage as a shop worker, you know, £6 an hour, £6.30 odd an hour, I think it is.
Yep.
She is responsible if she leaves that cupboard open so people can see those cigarettes, and she will potentially face a £5,000 fine and or going to jail for doing that.
Not if she's adhering to my requests as a customer.
As I said, your anarchy is fine, and I uphold your anarchy. I'm saying generally, if they are not anarchists there, if the girl turns around and leaves the door open by accident because she's under pressure, she could lose her job. She obviously ain't going to get fined £5,000 or sent to jail, but potentially she could, but she could lose her job over it.
Do you know
how pathetic this government has become.
Well, I think it's an excellent law, and people were talking about nanny state when they were talking about seatbelts in motor cars, and who bothers about it now? You know, people talking and saying that it's a travesty and a trampling over our freedoms to sort of suffer injury. Nobody's bothered about crash helmets, and I think
there is one simple answer to what you're saying, Mark. Seriously and honestly, it's very simply, why don't they ban cigarettes?
Instead of making it £8.
I was talking to somebody in Australia. Cigarettes in Australia are now between £15 and £20 a packet. And in Britain, they are £8 a packet going upwards. So why don't they actually say, instead of cynically taking money off people who they are potentially killing and allowing an industry to kill, why don't they just say, that's it, we ban smoking?
I think you will have two problems with that, Lee. The first one is there will be legitimate transport across on a ferry and they will buy them somewhere else. The second thing that will be the bigger problem is that organised crime will then get involved in it all.
Right.
And they will sell the cigarettes by one means or another, and they'll probably make more money out of that than they do out of Class A drugs.
Quite feasibly, but there is still one simple point there. And that is that finally you would have had a British government that stood up for its moral values and actually done something straightforward and honest instead of making shop girls responsible for shutting doors.
Yeah, I know, that's
ridiculous. And making people smoke on the streets. And all because they don't want to lose the taxation that they're bringing in off this product.
Well, I think it's more complicated than that. I think something like about, 25% or more of the population smoke. And unfortunately, I don't think you can just, sort of legislate against that addiction. But let me tell you, we're getting there.
Get it for 25 years.
Well, I suspect that it will be eventually illegal, but unlawful, but it'll probably take maybe 100 years. But that's where we're going, and jolly good show as well.
Well, let me qualify something for you. Because I still stay mates with many guys in the licence industry, which now move into hoteliers and things like that. Now, if you apply as a large hotel, there is a misnomer that you cannot get a smoking room in London, for example. Well, if you shop around, some hotels are actually licensed to have smoking annexes on their hotels, and you can smoke in your room still. But they you know, government doesn't tell you that they've kind of like softened it in many ways. And again, what really annoys me is the smaller hotelier who has to put up with that's extra cost. The small corner shopkeeper who's now got to go and refit his shop when he probably doesn't have the money to it. It's all right for Tesco's and M&S and all the rest of them, but they don't think about the small shopkeeper and the small service.
The small shopkeeper doesn't have to do it, Eric.
Well, no, he can go out of business and be on the dole. Yeah, absolutely.
No. He actually doesn't have to comply with this law until 2014.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So they've got
15.
So they've got another 2 or 3 years to comply.
Well, we're all correcting each other, aren't we?
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be a problem. And I think at the end of the day, the pain is worth the gain.
Okay. All right.
I do have to make one last remark on this, because I do think this namby-pamby excusing of government policy because 25% of the country wants to carry on smoking is ridiculous. Like I said before, we managed to ban drugs, we managed to ban laudanum, we managed to ban opium, we managed to ban cannabis. All these things were legal,
and they're all sold on the street.
And well, I'm not saying they wouldn't be sold on the street. What I'm saying is that government should stand up and have the courage of the convictions instead of making excuses and bringing half-hearted laws so that they can still continue to kill people to bring in taxation.
Okay, moving on. This week we've had a new government in Slovakia. Thank you to the rest of the world for noticing it.
I noticed it, Eric. I know.
Unbelievable. So, as we are painted, the little country with the big voice, Slovakia has a big voice, and this has kind of like calmed everything down over here a lot, because the former government were actually kicked out because of the Greece euro failure disaster. And part of the deal, which people seem to have forgotten, was that Slovakia helped in the bailout as long as they brought forward the general election. And no surprises, the government, who were in at the time, lost everything.
I'm not laughing, that's not funny.
It was like meltdown. So we have a new premier who met the president, and so Mr. Robert Fico is now the premier, and his government's all been sworn in. And I wonder if he said thank you to the Greek government.
I wonder if he did.
Funny that. Embassy staff have been... dealing with the most bizarre things, wasting taxpayers' money in the UK. Because don't forget, taxpayers pay for embassies around the world. So when you go to a UK embassy in Bratislava, as the one for Slovakia is, that is paid for by the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, which is paid for by the state. And all I can say is, please don't be idiots with these guys. And as one who's assisted on several occasions the embassy, because our embassy is about 5 hours away from this part of the planet, and the embassy's there, for example, if you have a serious accident that's not your fault, they will help you.
Yes.
If it is that there's like the Icelandic, whatever it was, dust cloud malarkey, they will then help you. They won't get you back. It's not their job. But they will give you advice. If you are taken ill while you're abroad, they will give you advice and help. That's what
they
do.
Well, you could get advice and help off your mother.
But they're not there to find your false teeth.
Absolutely not. And may I give you a prime example, Mark? It happened to myself and Andrea in Paris, of all places.
Yeah.
Andrea got steamed by a group of that, ladies and gentlemen, before Mark explains it, is when a group of teenagers rush by you and rob you as they steam by you.
Oh, it wasn't pleasurable then.
No, not at all, no.
All right, okay.
And she had her handbag taken, which contained our passports, which I admonished her for carrying both our passports in her handbag. If she'd left mine, at least I could have got home.
Yes.
And, right, so we went to the embassy. We'd lost all our money, credit cards, a lot, everything. And the embassy would not supply us with new documentation. So we paid her. We said, we've got no money. We've been robbed. and they wouldn't help us out. But luckily, we're only in Paris, so it wasn't a very difficult thing to sort out. That, well, I agree that embassies do actually do a lot of good, particularly in negotiating over serious things, are also hamstrung dreadfully by costs and funding and can't really do as much as you would actually hope these places would do. I rest my case.
Don't forget, some of the requests that have gone to embassies, including my sat-nav's broken, I need directions.
I think that's fair enough.
I'm not happy with my plastic surgery. I've made some jam and it won't set. I'm looking for a dog minder.
and my chicken cow, how do I put my chicken coop up?
Yeah, I love
these
that one.
These are Europeans abroad. They need help. They need advice.
I think the best one, which we handled on here, Lee will probably remember, was a love-struck Hungarian who wanted the embassy there to help him and do some translation to the lady he loved. Well, in the past, when we had that with a German guy who was seriously interested in a Slovak girl, we helped him out because that's not the job of the British consular staff aboard. And the final thing, somebody phoned them up to say, where can I buy some fishing bait? Unbelievable. Yes. What a waste of money. Mark, have you ever come across expats or tourists in problems in Paris?
Well, no, I haven't really, no. I mean, I suppose that in a way we're so close to home that they don't really need to go to the embassy very much indeed. I had my own experiences with embassies in the world when I was much younger and a traveller. And I'm afraid I found the embassies very unhelpful. Very, very unhelpful, actually.
They are. That's a fair description of what they actually are. Unhelpful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe it was because I was in my 20s and had very long hair, was a bit of a hippie and this sort of thing. I really don't know. But, I mean, I turned up at the embassy in Vienna once. I'd had everything stolen and I had absolutely no money. I'd managed to sell some blood in Greece, got up to Vienna hitchhiking, and I had no money there. And they wouldn't help me. And in fact, I was just very lucky that there was a very, very kind receptionist there who lent me the equivalent of £2, and that got me to Paris. And I eventually sent the money back to her for several weeks later. But if it hadn't been for her, I don't know what I would have done.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, of course, it was a long time ago. You know, I don't know if attitudes have changed, but they were very unhelpful then.
Well, I have to say that in the opposite of that, Mark, there was a couple here, young guy and his partner, who were knocked off a motorbike. It was an accident. Yeah. The lorry driver said it was his fault. He didn't see them properly in the mirrors, and they were knocked off the motorbike. The young lady had quite severe back problems and had to be medevaced back to the UK, to Birmingham. No, to Manchester, I'm sorry. No. As soon as we found out about it, told the embassy, because the accident happened about sort of 5-6 kilometres away from here. And whilst we were waiting for the embassy to turn up, we took them some biscuits in and some reading material and stuff like that. And they were extremely good. And by the time Richard got here, they were sort of, they'd asked loads of the questions about how do we work within the Slovak system and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So we've done all that. But it has to be said that this was a Saturday, and I think from the start of the call to a person being in another part of a country, it was about 4 hours, so they didn't mess about. They were down here quickly, and they were medevaced out. And equally, we had the sad situation where a guy died down here who was on holiday. He was about 70-something. And even though the embassy's first reaction was, what? Because he got a medical condition and shouldn't really have been on a plane. The fact was he had flown because he wanted to see some or make contact with people that he hadn't seen since the Second World War. But even so, they came down, he was repatriated properly, the police were contacted to get hold of family, all through the embassy. And it was a very professional job.
I think it would be, yeah, but it's also, it's the crisis arises when, like Mark, if you were travelling as a hippie, for want of a better phrase, and you didn't have insurance and that kind of thing, you didn't have the package that most sort of tourist travellers do, then the embassies don't really pull out the stops to help you then.
Well, that's the end of part one, boys and girls. We'll be back in part two in just a second.
Eric. Give me a break.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.